And I want to go where the Lord would have you to go and do what the Lord would have you to do. Well, be about your Father's business. Be committed to what you have before you now. And according to the Lord's perfect will and perfect timing, He will direct your steps. Take step one. Don't worry about step two, three, and four. Be obedient in taking step one, and God will direct the rest of your steps. And so it says in verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Man, he didn't even hesitate. And he said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? And so Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. He left his livelihood. I know there are some people today that are tripped up by the tug on their heart for ministry, but yet they're pretty comfortable in the world. Man, I got this cool business going. I have a nice house, cars, all this stuff. And there's often people today I've seen over the years in ministry that aren't willing to forsake their personal creature comforts to answer the call of the Lord. God gave us the grace to do that when we got called into ministry. I was ordained in December of 91 in Lake Arrowhead. And by March of 92, we were sitting in a log cabin in West Townsend, Vermont. You've probably never heard of West Townsend, Vermont. We hadn't either. We had a 3-story custom-built home in Lake Arrowhead. We had new cars in the garage. We had the trailer. We had the whole thing. But you know what? There was such a tug on our heart. Nothing else mattered. And we were willing because of God's love and grace and mercy to us, where he restored our marriage and he delivered us from drugs and alcohol and put our family back together. That was, Lord, the day we moved into that big house, use it for your glory. And when the time is up to leave here, Lord, just move us on. And he did. After 3 years, we found ourselves with the Frozen Chosen back in Vermont. But you know what? Nothing, absolutely nothing, can compare with serving the Lord. Nothing that this world has to offer. I don't care how big the house, how fancy the car, the boat, the whole thing. You know what? None of that is fireproof. And it's such a joy and a blessing to answer the call of the Lord. And so we see here Elijah, he even had his own going away party, left his livelihood, left his family, threw a going away party. And it says at the end there, he became his servant. He became Elijah's servant. What a blessing. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to enjoy the luxuries of the world out there. Jesus himself said that greatest is he in the kingdom of heaven who is the servant of all. We have things backwards in the world today. We think the more servants that we have, the better off we are. But you know, the best place to be is the least of all. Jesus was that perfect example. And so back to the first verse in chapter 2. We see that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Here they are, traveling buddies, companions in ministry. You see teams of two all through the Old and New Testament. You see, even in the time of Paul, how he traveled with Silas or Barnabas. Old Testament, David and Jonathan were so tight. The love that they had one for another was greater than the love, the Bible tells us, between a man and a woman. And it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And so Elisha was an amazing student. He followed, he learned, he served faithfully for a period of about 10 years. And you don't hear a whole lot about him here. He's not looking to step up to the front. It's a rarity to find a man or a woman in ministry that doesn't want to come to the forefront. To find those that are content being behind the scenes people. Elisha was that kind of a guy. People up here can't do the things that they do without the behind-the-scenes people. The chairs you sit in, the cookies you eat, the coffee that's made, all of those things just happen to be here when you get here, but somebody has to do those things. They're the behind-the-scenes people that are very, very important in any fellowship. But Elisha was an obscure, quiet, behind-the-scenes guy, kind of out of the way, out of the picture, out-of-sight guy, watching and listening. And taking in all that he could through these years of preparation, knowing that one day that he would take Elijah's place. He knew. He had no idea. The Lord didn't set a time or a date. And he won't do it with you either. Oftentimes you think, well, if I complete this or this class or you get this degree or then I'll be ready. God's time schedule is a whole lot different than ours. Just be patient. Be faithful where you are. Be that behind the scenes person until God moves you to a different place. It was after this period of about 10 years that Elisha was finally told that the time had now come for Elijah to be taken up into heaven. That's amazing. As I was looking at this week, I'm thinking, you know what? One day I'll preach my final sermon. I don't know when that will be. Could be tonight. Who knows, right? You could be hearing your final sermon tonight. Who knows? But for every one of us, there is an end of the road, if you would, this side of heaven, when what God had created you for and what He had saved you for, your purpose has come to an end. I don't even like to think about it because I so love what I do and I so love being around you guys. I so love this fellowship. I hate to even think about it. But you know what? At the same time, we have to be ready. An old-time preacher said, I preach as a dying man to dying men, possibly to never preach again. That's the way we have to live this side of heaven because no one knows what tomorrow holds. But in the meantime, Elijah was training up someone to take his place. That's a wise thing. We've talked about that on Sunday morning, where the pastor's job, the pastor-teacher's job is to equip the saints for the ministry. To train you up. We're all pupils. Anybody that attends a Bible teaching fellowship like Calvary Chapel that goes through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the whole book, you're going to Bible school, whether you know it or not. And that's a cool thing. We're all pupils. We're all disciples. We're all students of God's Word. We're all at different levels. Isn't it marvelous that, man, we just get God's got great things for all of us. And, you know, there's no titles here and there's no degrees of spirituality. Man, we're all in this together. We're a body. Every joint, every ligament working together. But one day it'll be over, won't it, for all of us? Bingo. I'll fly away will be a reality for all of us. Elisha promised to follow Elijah faithfully as he did. And so faithful was his calling that we're going to see here tonight. Three times Elijah tells him to stay behind so he can depart and go to heaven. You stay right here, you know, and I'm going to go over to here. And it's almost as though he feels this thing dragging on his leg, Elijah does. And guess what? It's Elisha. Step, drag, step, drag. He truly loved his mentor. He loved his teacher. He didn't want him to go away. And look what happens here. This is kind of humorous. Second verse. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. He even says, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Bethel, which means house of God. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. That's about 15 miles from Gilgal. That's a long way to drag somebody on your leg. I'm just joking when I say that. But you can almost see that Elisha just didn't want to let him go. Have you ever had somebody spiritually like that in your life? Man, there was a guy named Ken Richardson from Montreal, Canada, that used to come, drive down from Montreal to Vermont to help us when we first got started. My wife, Tina, and I thought this, we actually thought this man was an angel because he always showed up at the perfect time, always showed up at the perfect. What a servant. He traveled all over the place with his toolbox. His car was filled with tools. He could do anything. He always showed up when my car broke down and we couldn't afford to fix the car. He always showed up when the church needed work. Man, here he comes. Bingo. He's doing the drywall. He's doing the carpet. Anything and everything. That's the type of guy that he was. And so we see here that's what the relationship was like between Elisha and Elijah. You have anybody in your Christian life like that? That you so love? That you so love to be around? That you so love to serve the Lord with? We all need somebody like that. And I'm just so grateful for as long as I've known the Lord, God has always had someone in my life like that. Someone that I can hold on to as a brother in the Lord and have that accountability to. And so we see here that, man, they travel 15 miles to Bethel, which is west of Gilgal. Look at this third verse. Now the sons of the prophets, these are like the Bible school students from the prophetic school, who were at Bethel, came out to Elisha and said to him,